mentioned about how glad he was for the generations that went before him, that paved the way, that was faithful to the Lord to bring salvation to us. Well, I'd say that too. But I'm also concerned that maybe the generations coming after us would have the same kind of potentials that we've had. We want to be true. We want the Lord to be able to help us right here in 2007 to know how to serve Him, because the devil's bidding high. And like I said, he's marketing the old ideas in new ways. And it's quite an advertising campaign going on, and it's persuading many. And so, Lord, help us today to be able to stay true to the Lord. I want to be able to stand. I want to be able to make it through this world, endure what we have to, and remain pure through it all. The Lord has something for every one of us. I was talking with some folks today about, you know, the Lord ain't changed any. You know, if we was collectively to get together and begin to tell what the Lord has done for us, we could write quite a book. And as we look and see, and a lot of times read the old literatures and read the old testimonies of the saints, and they'll tell in there about marvelous healings, Lord's still healing us today. And about the great things that the Lord does, He's done wonderful things for us. And we would be wise not to forget that in our day and time. We want the Lord to have His way in our life. Those that have been faithful from the dawn of the Christian era have done so because they knew the Lord. There is no other secret involved in it. There is no other magic, if you want to say it, or grace involved in it. Those that went through the time of the martyrs knew Christ and lived for Him with their whole heart, and the Lord done the rest. And all the way down through the ages that people lived for the Lord, that and when they had victory, they all had it the same way. And if we're going to have victory, we're going to have it the same way they had it. And that is knowing the Lord. It's the only thing that can make a difference in sin, no matter what the sin is. No matter how hard the devil presses or what he comes up with, the solution still reads the same in the Scriptures. It takes the Lord to overcome it. And so, Lord, help us today to be able to stand in our day, our age, our time. That's what we're going to face today. I don't face the age of the martyrs. I don't have to face the S. Warner's time. I got to face my time and the things that's there. And there is a real accessibility, you might call it, to evil that we haven't seen. There is a lot out there that you can touch button stuff. But we still need the Lord to help us. We need the same grace that they needed to overcome those things in their day. So Lord, help us today to have that kind of experience. And we'll look at a scripture in the 16th chapter of Matthew. Maybe if the Lord help us, we could get a few thoughts out of this. 13th chapter, or verse of the 16th chapter. It says, when Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? I wonder why Jesus asked a question like that. He was the discerner of the very intents of the heart. He not only knew what they were saying, He knew what they were thinking. But He asked these disciples a question, no doubt to bring thoughts to their own mind, perhaps. And no doubt He brought it to record it into the Scriptures that we would think about the thing too. Who do men say that I am? The Son of Man. Who do they say that I am? A question to this. You know, the Pharisees and the scribes, they didn't think much of the Lord at all. Many of them wanted to put Him to death because the envy, He challenged their way of life greatly. They wanted to put Him to death, but He wasn't really asking about the scribes and the Pharisees. He was asking about the common men. Who do men, just who do common men, who do they say that I am? What do they think about what I'm doing? You know, their minds here, these common people's minds, wasn't malicious at all, it didn't sound like. As they looked on to what the Lord was doing, they didn't seem like they was malicious. None of the answers to this was really disrespectful. It wasn't degrading in what the Lord was doing. It just wasn't, it wasn't very insightful, and it didn't bring much blessings to their life either, but they really wasn't malicious. And you know, it brings a thought to my mind is that we can have some real good intentions about the Lord. We can even have some honor to what He is and miss the whole idea of what He come to do.
Well, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist. Well, I think King Herod maybe even had that idea at one point, didn't he? Well, one of them did that said that was him coming back. There was people that thought that. Some thought John the Baptist, he said. Some said Elias, and others Jeremias. Well, it was easy for these people to think that. I think especially of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. There was a few times in the scriptures where it said Jesus wept. They probably seen the passion that the Lord had as he went around ministering, the care and the concern for the people. And maybe many of them said, this reminds me of what they say about Jeremiah. And he cried, this is Jeremiah here. But I wonder about the way people see things and view things. Said some John the Baptist, some others, the influence of other people. Maybe that's part of the reason why the Lord was asking his disciples this. Who do men, you're with them, you're around them, you have discussions. What do you say about, people talk. I know these disciples was engaged in many, many conversations to where they suggested, if not boldly proclaimed, this is the Christ. You need to come and follow with us. That's the way human nature is. And I'm positive that that's the way it would have been with these folks too. And no doubt they had many conversations with them. And perhaps that the Lord was bringing to the idea here that who do men say that I am? Well, some say you're John the Baptist. Is that what you believe? Have they convinced you? Have they convinced you in their arguments that I'm only John the Baptist? Have you seen the likeness of John? Well, sure, I've seen the likeness of John here. Your message is the same, of repentance and those things. You've got a mind like that. Perhaps there's influences. There's influences in our world today. Many, many influences. So many, many directions trying to influence what you and I think about God. Who is God? Now, Brother Leslie told us today that, now he made a pretty good description of what God is. You believe that? Do you know there's a great amount of influences out there that's challenging the idea of what Brother Leslie was saying this morning about a simple faith of a mighty God creating to the detail all that we know? There's a challenge to that. We could say that this way. Have you been in on any of that? Have you been influenced by that move any at all in our world? Do you believe that when the weather that we see, do you believe that that's ordered at the hand of God? Do you believe that? Or do you believe that there's just, well, he has set it in order, but do you believe that there's other forces or just the way it happens to be? There's influences that believe that. He says to me, do you think this is all I am? Some people say you're John the Baptist. Some Elias. Imagine the way people, I've heard people in all kind of debates, political debates and all this, and heard them. I imagine the people themselves even got, have you heard of this man, Jesus? Yeah, I've heard of him. You know what? I believe that he seems like Jeremiah to me. Oh, no, you're wrong. I've been thinking about this a long time. He's John the Baptist. But what did they miss? What was they missing of the whole thing of what the Lord really wanted them to get a hold of had slipped by them? It's more than just that. He's more than the honor of a prophet. He was more than John said himself of Jesus, I'm not worthy to unlatch his shoes. I'm not worthy to be in his footstep. There's one that comes after me that's greater than I am. You hear him. You listen to what he has to say, because I'm not able to do this. But these men wasn't able really to perceive that as the Lord went on. And why? Why? I know this must have been in the mind of Jesus as he asked the disciples. He knew what people thought of him, but he wanted them to realize this. Why are they thinking the way they're thinking? What have they missed? What view do they have of the Christ to come that they've missed what I'm trying to do here? You know, there is a whole religious world out there today. Go here and go there. He's over here. No, he's over there. Jesus is this. This is what Jesus is. No, this is what Jesus is. To every religious move, there's a new Jesus for it. Because he has a new identity. There's something new or different about him. Over here is Jesus. Or over here is Jesus. You know, these people missed Jesus. These common people. Standing here and saw the works and saw the things, but they missed Jesus. Altogether missed Jesus. We can't afford to miss Jesus. Because the victory of the whole Christian church is Jesus. It's knowing the Lord. If you know the Lord, if you put your trust and confidence in the Lord, you can have victory in this life. I don't believe that sin can get too much. I don't believe there can be too much wicked in this world that the grace of God can't overcome. But it's going to take knowing Him that's able to get us through those kind of things. So He said on in this scripture, "Who do men say that I am?" Well, some said that thou art John the Baptist. That's a pretty high compliment because there was none greater. Was there? There was none greater than John the Baptist, Jesus said. That's a high compliment, but it's not high enough. That's shooting low. If all he ever done was what John the Baptist done, that's not enough for our eternal salvation. Some says Elias was a lot of work there, but it's not enough. Well, it was a real honor to be like Jeremiah. There's a lot of compassion, but it's not enough. And some, one of the prophets, we're not sure what he is, but he's one of the prophets somewhere along. He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Now, who do you say? Who do you say that I am? You know, I think that's a question that ought to span down through the ages of time to everyone that wants to serve the Lord. Who is he? Because these men at that time missed him. And the disciples here sitting and wondering of that very question. Who is he? Do you know they very well could have said, "Lord, I know who you are." But I want to tell you, it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy to know who you are because you shattered my opinion of what you was going to be when you come. I had set in my mind about what the Christ would be when he come. Brother Ed told us today about the finery of religious organizations, of what people do. There's nothing really wrong with that, but it's pretty frail because God never did accept the works of men's hands very well at all. He's not impressed by it. Let's put it that way. He's not impressed with ornamentations. He's not impressed with what you can do with your hands. That doesn't impress the Lord. The Lord's far beyond that. But to give us that idea of that extravagance, that awness that you can look, and some of these things are pretty awe-inspiring when you go in and look at the big cathedrals, the big places, and you say, "My, what work was put into this? What talent of art, what talent of skill was put into that?" Do you know these men of this time had a view that the Christ would come and that he was going to be a king? He was going to have splendor. He was going to be ornamented. He was going to be fantastic. Your eyes would behold him and it would glow. And they said if the Son of God came and when Moses had to have a veil on him from sin, you wait till the Christ comes. But that ain't what he come to do. And that was the misunderstanding that continues on. When I read this scripture, it makes me to realize that we so easily can miss what the Lord came to do. The Lord is a wonderful creator and His art is beyond any art that man can do. But He does a work in the heart of a man that is beautiful above all that He does. He can do something within our hearts that glorifies Him. He does something within us that enables us to endure the hardships, the storms, the problems of life. He can do a work in us that will give us grace to face any kind of problems, any kind of difficulties, whatever you think that, whatever the devil can bring to you to make you think that you can't stand it, the grace of God is able to make you stand it far beyond what he can tempt you with. Far beyond that. He can come and say to you that if this happens to you, you're going to lose out, you're going to be all of your mind can't take it, your heart. You ever been in those kind of places? You ever been in the place to say, if this happens to me, the devil speaking to you said, I'll never be able to endure such a thing as that. If this happens, or when that time that this thing happens to my body and my body's rattled with pain, I'll never be able to endure it. But you know, the Lord has something. More than all that, He's got an ability to do the work in a heart. And all He said to the disciples, now who do you say? Now you've been here. You've judged this thing. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that? I wonder if He said, Lord, you broke the pattern. I'm going to answer it, but Lord, you I have to admit, the reason why they don't see it is you're not their expectation. You did not come up to what they thought you would be when you come. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ. What a statement. You're the promised one. You're the anointed one. You're the promise of our deliverance. You're our Savior. You're going to be our friend. You're our Redeemer. You're the one that we've been prophesied of. You're the one that was told of. You're the one that John the Baptist taught. You're it. You're the Christ. And I know your purpose. I know your mission. Your mission was to come and make a beautiful temple in here. You come to make an ornament, something that's beautiful, something that shines out. Oh, how often the saints are misjudged just the way the Lord. Thank the Lord. How often the saints are misjudged just the way the Lord was. Oh, to look and say, I've heard it said, they're all right. They won't cheat you. They won't steal. They're this, they're that. But how often it's totally missed about what the Lord's really come to do. Oh, so often religious purposes are that it would look like that something big has to happen. Something big. It is big that happens. But you don't see it with these eyes. Some people are always looking for something big to happen that I can say, this is Jesus. Jesus moves in big ways. Jesus is going to do something here. And now there's something great and fantastic going to happen. And all at the same time He says, Who do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ. That's who you are. Thou art the Christ. I can testify of my own life. He's the Christ. There's been times that I look for the big thunder and the big lightnings to happen. This is God now. God's going to thunder and lightning. And He didn't thunder and lightning. But He done something. At the same time that I was looking for that great thundering and lightning, and even thunder and lightning when He gets ready to. But also the Lord speaks in still, small movings, adorning our hearts with His graces. Do you know we have a responsibility to, if we name the name of Jesus, to be like Jesus? We have a responsibility to be what He is. Do you know what the Peter was claiming when he said this? He just took on a great responsibility of his own understanding. He just took on this when he said, Thou art the Christ. I wonder if he shuddered when he said it. I wonder if he said it lightly, or I imagine that he said it with a fear of God on him. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Because once you make that proclamation, you'll never be able to follow anything else. I can't get out of this one now. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That means your way, Lord, is the right way. Your way is my way from now on. I'm going to have to follow you by your grace, because this is who you are. You got the answers to life's problems. You got the grace that I need when I'm just human and can't do any better than myself. And you can say, I've got some fortitude and I've got some strength of character and of myself. And I've thought that at times too, and run into places to where I just had to beg the Lord, have mercy on me, because Lord, I can't endure I can't endure another day of it. Lord, I can't endure what I have to endure in this life. Lord, would you give me mercy? Would you give me grace? Help me for this place. And the Lord's able to do those kind of things for you and I. Oh, the Lord wants you and I to understand who He is. We may never face the martyr's sword. We never may never face that. We never may never face the persecutions that others have. But we face an evil, evil time. We face a difficult time. We face a time that in our nation particularly, we're abundant. We're abundant. God's got grace for riches. Yes, He does. God's got grace for abundance. God's got... Paul said in one place that he knew how to abound. But he knew how to be abased too. I know how to handle prosperity. I know how to keep the Lord in my life. I know how to keep Him first. Lord, help us in our day and time. I want to see us go on with the same fervor, with the same grace, with the same determination. I want the next generation to have the same hope of the gospel that I've had. I want to see this thing go on. I want to see the God endure. And I know what's going to do it. God in us is what's going to do it. Our relationship with the Lord, though I can say, regardless of what they say out in the world, thou art the Christ. Thou art the deliverer. Thou art the Savior of my soul. They're going to deliver me from sin and habit and bad things. Yes, He can. I must believe that He's the Christ. Oh, where would we be if He's not? Lost in our sins is where we'd be. Oh, I've got to believe that He's more than I can see with my eye. I can't see it. But I've heard the testimonies. I saw it testified of others, but I know it for myself. He's Christ. That's what He is. He came to deliver us from our sins. And all to get anywhere else off on down and tell you the Lord wants to deliver us and keep us is what the Lord wants to do for us. So He says, Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus, when He asked the question, said, The Son of Man, speaking to His humanity. He was in the flesh. He was a man. He spoke of it as being that way. Who do they say as they see me as a man? Who do they say that I am? But when Peter answered it back, he didn't answer the Son of Man. Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. That's I see beyond it. You know, Jesus. Jesus said, what was that over in Matthew, about 10th chapter, where He said, Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. What did He say? Take on me, for I am meek and lowly. That wasn't the way He was supposed to come. Meek and lowly, and you'll find rest to your souls. Meek and lowly, I'll call you, and I am meek and lowly. You want, whoever, He's meek and lowly. Lord, You threw us. There was a curveball at us. We was the Jewish nation expected You to come as Christ, and they expected You to come with power. He said He would come in power. He's expecting Him to come with these dynamics that they would see and view. But that's not what He come as. But we understand who You are because You've done something with us. And isn't that the secret of the whole thing? I ain't going to say what Brother Leslie talked about or what Brother Rich was talking about. But I got to know what He done for me. That's the holding influence. That's the influence that we're going to need to carry this thing one more. I've got to know that Jesus is real to me. That He's the Son of the living God. That He was Christ. That He was born of the Virgin Mary. That He did go and come to this earth and preach for 3.5 years. And that He went on and was crucified. But He didn't stay crucified. They buried Him. And then He rose again the third day. And I've got to know that that's Him. You're Christ. The Son of the living God. You know, I know that because He resurrected something in me. Because He done a work into me that you can't argue out. You can't argue it. You can't debate it out. You can debate all the fine points of the creation and you can do all that that I'm not smart enough to understand. And you can debate the Scriptures and do all that that I can't understand. But you can't debate what the Lord done. You can't take it from me. I know what He done. And the experience got to live on. Lord, help us in our day and time not to be robbed of the experience of knowing the Lord. So He said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I think that the Lord was talking about here that Peter seen the fleshly side of the Lord just like the other men did. They saw Him as a human. He had to eat. He had to drink. He just went around humbly. That's who He was. And that didn't reveal anything to him. He had a revelation. He got something from the Spirit of God. He got something in His own life. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. And we can endeavor in our lives to put all the things of this world into our lives. Men, we're not made up. The scripture says something to the effect of the things which we possess. A man's life doesn't consist of the abundance of the things that he possesses. A man's life doesn't consist. We can come into the fine building, and there's nothing wrong with those kind of things. Nothing wrong with the fine houses, the blessings of God. It's all wonderful. Thank the Lord for them. But do you know that that's just the flesh? There's the things of carnal things. There's all tabernacle here. It's good enough. It's good enough. It's all that it takes. It doesn't take that. Oh, the Lord wants you and I to have a focus on something eternal. Something that's lasting. Something that's meaningful. Something more than this. And not flesh and blood. Don't get your eyes off on the things around us. Even in religious circles, folks, don't have to look to the upbeat, the fleshly emotion, the emotional. Don't have to look to those things, because you'll miss Jesus if you do. Because He's more than that. Find Him in a work in your heart. A work in your heart. When the Lord works in your heart. Oh, Lord, deal with me about my life. Help me, Lord. Deliver me from the places that the devil would want to take advantage of me in this time world. Help me, Lord, in this evil dispensation. Oh, how hard it is. Maybe you've never struggled with it, but how hard it is to get into a place of lethargy in our day and time. How do you have to pray? Some have had to in this world, and probably still do, had to pray that the Lord would send something to eat this morning. Or maybe pray in enough money to be able to go to the camp meeting. Maybe there's some done it. But most say, I've got it. It's abundant. But how easy it is to get away from the real need we have of God. I want to tell you, those things are provided by the Lord, but I'm going to tell you, there's a need that you and I will always have regardless of the situation that we have. You can't keep your soul. You can't keep your own soul. You need the Lord to help you every day. I need the Lord every day to help me. Who are you? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're the one that's going to take me to heaven if I go. You're the one that's going to bless my soul. You're the one that's going to save me and keep me saved. You're the one I need from every day from the temptations of the enemy that's wanting to come into this world. I want to tell you, the devil is packaging the old. It's old. There's nothing new under the sun. But he's packaging it in all kind of pretty packages today. Oh, in all kind of different ways. Oh, this don't matter. And oh, just get a little religion and you'll be all right. That's been around a long time. But it takes more than just a prophet experience. Going to have to know Him as the Son of God. Going to have to know Him as the Redeemer of my soul. Oh, he said this was revealed. It's revelation. It's revelation to the soul. And it's meaningful because that's what's going to cause us to last. That's going to be the endurance, is the revelation to the soul. Oh, I think about mentioning it before, but I meant that old blind man. There was a blind man, and Jesus come along and healed the blind man. You remember him? And then there were some folks come along and said, "Who was that?" And tried to get him to say that he didn't, that just give God to God. And they made an argument to him. See, they was against the Lord, and they didn't want any credit going to the Lord. So they tried to make an argument against it. No, blind man, he just said, "I don't know about all that. But this is what I know. I was blind." Now you can say all you want to. There was gainsayers that said he pretended. I know there was. I know humanity. There was people that said that guy was pretending. He wasn't even blind at all. 30 years. Yeah, pretending. They set this whole deal up. I know that's the way people's mind would work. Or they'd have said all different manners of things, and you know you could convince people that. Sure you did. You could convince Jesus was just Jeremiah. You could try to argue that he was John the Baptist. And you could argue that this man wasn't blind, or you could argue that something natural happened. Well, I saw him down there eating the herbs that old fellow told him to eat. It was the herbs that did. I mean, you could say all kinds of things, and no doubt they did. To everybody but the blind man. You can make an argument to his own mother. You could have made an argument to anyone around there, but there's one that you could not convince. He said, "I know this. I was blind, and now I see." That was the bottom line of his experience. "I was blind, and you can't tell me I wasn't. I never saw, and I see now." And that's the bottom of it, and you can argue all you want to. You can give God the credit, or you can give the neighbor the credit, or the roots of the water, "But I was blind, and now I see." And right there, I know the man that did it,
and you can't take it from me. And that's why it's so important that we know who He is and know Him for ourselves in our own lives. This is Christ, the Son of the living God, and He saved my soul. Anything less is subject to great failure. It's got to be maintained that way. Jesus, the lover of my soul, He died for me and saved me, and He's one that keeps me saved. Day by day, just keep going. I'm minded of Brother Ed Wilson's dad would say regularly, if you ask him how he's doing, his comment was, "I'm saved today. Got another day in. I'm saved," is what he would say. Well, thank the Lord, one more day. If you'll stay saved today, it's by the grace of God that you stay saved today. It's by the Christ, the Son of the living God. All the other ornamentations, all the other things of this world can go away, but I'm saved today. By His grace, I know Him to be the Savior of my soul. Isn't that a wonderful place to be? Oh, and I'm concerned. The burden that the Lord has given me is that the time that we live in, Lord, help us to have an experience solid and secure. Because the traps are many, the deceitful is much. Lord, give me a message some time ago about the tree of life. And the tree of knowledge. And it was amazing in the scriptures the way it wrote. It said that they were in the midst or the centra of the garden. And it brought a real thought to me. Do you know that there's a possibility, by the way the writing is that maybe their limbs overlapped? They were in the center of the garden. You know, the Lord could have put one in one corner and one in the other. And they could have went to the tree of life and never even ever have been tempted with the other. But the Lord never did it that way. He put them both in the center. And you know that the idea that God is to come to the tree of life, that they had to face that which was said to leave alone. They couldn't get away from it. And you and I won't either. In this world, you and I are going to have the ability to get a hold of the tree of life. That's the Lord. He wants us in our day and time more than ever. I see it. You can hardly... Sometimes it's so mixed up, the evil and the good, so much entwined in our life around us. You can't hardly go to the grocery store. Gotta go, but you can't hardly, without seeing what you don't want to see. But you're going to have to walk by the bad to get a hold of the good. You're going to have the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're going to have Him living in my life that I can pass by that which I ain't supposed to eat and be faithful to the Lord. I'm going to have to pass it by. And you think this world going to get better? You think this culture is going to get more holy? You think they're going to start putting laws against obscenity? I doubt it. I doubt it. It's going to be there to deal with. My burden is that we'll be able to deal with it. By God's grace. He's got a great and mighty grace that He wants you and I to get a hold of. In our time, in our era, we're going to have a closeness with the Lord. We're going to have a devotion to God. To be able to, because I'm going to tell you, you can't go around blindfolded all the time. You're going to have something on hand, something ready, that will enable you and I to be faithful to God all the way through. To be able to see it in the port. Say, Lord, help me to hate it. Help me to walk on by it. Come up there, Lord, I've got to get to the tree of life. And I come up there and there's the evil sitting right there. Do you see the world that way? Or maybe I'm the only one that sees it. With all the temptation and all that's out there to get and to gain and to have and all those things right there. And right here, so accessible, right in the same technologies that has brought the world where it is, has brought the ability for us to have the Word of God, the printing presses, the understandings of great men. It's all intertwined in the same kind of technologies that brought it to pass. And there it is. Lord, help you and I in our day and time to be able to face the world that we live in. Nobody, there hadn't been anybody come to my door with a gun or sword. But I'm faced with a lot of evil, a lot of things around me. And my burden today is the Lord would help us to be able to do it. To see the Lord for what He is. To know Him for a personal Savior for my life. One that the devil can't shake. And people can't shake. And all the ideas of the humanist world can't shake. You go on proclaiming it. You go on saying that we evolved. You go on saying that this world just evolved out of something billions upon billions. You just go right on trying to create life. You go on with that. But I still know the Lord saved my soul. I still know He's real to me. I still know He delivered me from my old habits and desires. I still know He changed me. I still know He's real to my heart. I may not be a good debater. I may not be able to challenge you and all that stuff and all the world can come up with. But you can never shake the rock solid place in my life. What did He tell Peter there? He said, I say unto thee that thou art Peter. Upon this rock I shall build my church. What was the rock? It wasn't Peter, was it? Oh, Peter proved he was no rock. It was the testimony. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Deep in his heart, and he meant it, and the Lord knew it. And he said, upon this rock the church will be built, and it will never be moved. And the gates of hell cannot prevail against this rock, this experience, this revelation to my soul. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, that delivers from all habits and all vain desires and all earthly wants and all those things. The Lord delivers, and thou art the rock. That's where the church sits today. The church don't sit in its fineries. The church don't sit in human things and don't sit in human engravings and carvings. It sits in the engraving of God, the revelation to the soul of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. I thank the Lord today for it. My prayer is that throughout the generations to come, till Jesus splits the clouds, till He comes back with His saints, that we'll be faithful all the way through, knowing who He is. He's Christ, the Son of the living God. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.